And from the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumery. An affordable housing project in Juneau got a boost Tuesday night when it successfully appealed a city permit denial. The Glory Hall plans to convert its former homeless shelter building downtown into 7 housing units. The city denied construction permits for the job back in December because it said the renovation would increase density in an avalanche hazard zone. The city's development department interpreted density to mean the number of units, while the Glory Hall argued that the number of occupants should be used to determine when determining density. The Glory Hall's attorney, Mary Alice McKean, said it was arbitrary and incomprehensible.
So their position is we could have 50 homeless people living on this parcel, but we can't have 14 renters.
Ken Alper sits on Juneau's Planning Commission. He says that since density is not specifically defined in the relevant piece of code, the commission would define it.
The phrase "shall not increase density" shall be interpreted to mean "shall not increase the total quantity of people in a structure."
And that could have implications for future permitting. The Planning Commission also directed the city to accept an engineering study provided by the Glory Hall that had previously not used in its permit decision. That study found the building is not in a severe hazard zone. After a unanimous vote, the commission sent the permit back to the city's development department, community development department, and gave it 30 days to reconsider its decision. The city and the Glory Hall have 20 days to contest the decision to the assembly if they wish to do so. In other local news, since the 1980s, the state of Alaska has been the landlord to residents of a few historic homes in downtown Juneau. With the city's help, the state bought and took properties in the hopes of someday building a new capital complex there. And now there is a renewed push to let the city redevelop the area. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
On a sunny afternoon, Maureen Connerton lounges in a camp chair with her husband outside the home they lease on Telephone Hill. It's a prominent knob of land in the middle of downtown Juneau that juts out toward Gastineau Channel. There's a plaque on the door that claims it's Juneau's oldest home, built in the early 1880s. She reminisces about epic Alaska folk festival after parties that the neighborhood hosted in the 90s.
It was wild. We had to take everything off the walls, everything. Move the furniture into this side room back there because there were so many people.
She says one year, the festival's headliner played harmonica in the pantry.
The walk-in pantry. It was just like, wow, this is so amazing.
Those after parties are long gone. And according to a 1984 agreement between the city and the state, her home and 6 others on Telephone Hill are also supposed to be long gone to make way for a new capital complex. The state had 10 years to redevelop the land. By 1994, the state was supposed to compensate the city with cash and land. That didn't happen. 2019, the state listed Telephone Hill in the report as an asset it should consider selling, and the city of Juneau indicated that it wanted it. Last week, the Alaska legislature passed a bill that nudges the state to get on with it. It was 11 p.m. on the Alaska legislature's final night in session, literally the 11th hour, when Juneau Senator Jesse Keel got an amendment through that directs the administration to transfer Telephone Hill to the city.
Since, you know, we just, a few years back, put I think it was $37 million into seismic and other upgrades of the state capitol building. It seems pretty clear that we're not pursuing a new state capitol building anywhere in the next generation or so.
The bill with Keel's amendment is bound for the governor's desk for his signature.
I believe that this land transfer would have happened eventually. I think this just... this just cut some time and some uncertainty out of the process.
Connerton says uncertainty is ingrained into life on Telephone Hill. Over the decades, it's discouraged the residents from investing in significant repair projects, things like roof replacements and fresh paint. She says it feels like every time they're ready to, there are new rumblings that they'll finally be put out of their homes.
Where they've said, you know, this is the end, we're going to do something, and then they don't. We've been lucky that way because it's a great place. And everybody, you know, we get along. It's a real neighborhood.
Ironically, the less than ideal condition of the homes is one reason the city and state say it's ripe for redevelopment. For now, city officials are waiting for the governor's signature on the bill. After that, the Juneau Assembly will have some decisions to make about what to do with Telephone Hill. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
And three people were critically injured in a small airplane crash near Yakutat on Tuesday, and a fourth was treated for minor injuries. At approximately 3:15 p.m., Coast Guard headquarters in Juneau received an emergency locator transmitter alert, as well as a phone call from a Good Samaritan, reporting that a single-engine De Havilland Otter had crashed. The plane went down some 30 miles outside Yakutat in the woods near the Dry Bay airstrip. Photos by the Coast Guard show the otter's crumpled fuselage with the wings broken off. The rescue was a joint effort between Air Station Sitka, Air Station Kodiak, and local emergency responders. According to Lieutenant Eric Ordson at the Air Station Sitka, local responders from Yakutat were the first to arrive on the scene and had already begun administering medical aid when the Coast Guard arrived.
It took us about an hour and 20 minutes after takeoff to get there. We probably got there just after 5 o'clock. But there was already another aircraft that had brought emergency medical personnel from Yakutat. So they had landed at the airstrip and were on scene, and we landed after them. Two of the people, the plane that had landed first, had already been extracted from the aircraft, and they had them on backboards at the airstrip there. And there's a third person that was still in the plane.
A fourth person with minor injuries had already been taken to Yakutat by a Good Samaritan when the Coast Guard arrived. The three victims with serious injuries were medevaced aboard an Air Station Kodiak C-130 to this Ted Stevens International Airport in Anchorage and transported by EMS to Providence Alaska Medical Center and the Alaska Native Medical Center. The cause of the crash is currently under investigation. And as the summer approaches, Alaska residents are increasingly frustrated over the high price of flights to the lower 48. A round-trip ticket from Anchorage to Seattle in July will easily put you out $1,000. Alaska Public Media's Kavitha George reports on what's to blame.
Carrie Beth Barr, an aircraft mechanic who lives in the Mat-Su, has an unmissable trip to Omaha next week. She's visiting friends she served in the military with, who she hasn't seen in about 10 years. One of them is traveling from Australia to be there.
Normally, I can book the whole trip for about $700 or $800, I think. But I couldn't find anything like one way under $900.
Barr played around with different flight combinations using a mix of miles and money when she was booking about a month ago. She finally settled on a flight leaving Anchorage at 3 a.m. to save on cost.
Just frustrating and really expensive. So I used almost all my miles. I had 100,000 miles and I used almost all of it just on that trip.
So if you're looking for a trend, the trend is fares are way up.
Scott McMurrin is an Alaska travel writer and author of the Alaska Travelgram newsletter. He says part of the reason fares feel high is that they've been unusually low for more than 2 years while the pandemic curbed plane travel.
And so now when you see $600 or $700 to Seattle, people, start coming out of their skin.
Just a few months ago, McMurrin was blogging about one-way flights from Anchorage to New York City that cost less than $100. Memorial Day weekend, flights from Anchorage to Seattle start around $400. That's one way. Coming back, McMurrin says travelers are looking at eye-popping fares that will set you back $800 to $1,000.
There's a lot of demand right now, so that's pushing up the prices. The price of gas is going through the roof. And so that's reflected also in the air prices.
An Alaska Airlines spokesperson said in an email, the company is seeing near pre-pandemic passenger demand. The company said a recent pilot shortage, which has resulted in a reduced flight schedule through June, is, quote, not a factor driving up fares. Delta Airlines, which also flies nonstop between Anchorage and Seattle, did not respond to a request for comment. While prices remain high, Barr, the aircraft mechanic, is rethinking the rest of her summer travel.
I'm supposed to go down to Texas in July, and I don't know if I'm really going to make that trip happen because I haven't even looked at tickets yet for that, but I know it's going to be insanely expensive.
McMurrin recommends taking advantage of Alaska Airlines companion fares and using up any miles you've got stashed until fuel prices and summer demand come down. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Kavitha George.
And it's currently 59 degrees and cloudy. The rest of the day is expected to be sunny. The low tonight will be 41. Early tomorrow morning, before 7, there may be some patchy fog. Tomorrow through the weekend looks dry and sunny, with highs in the 60s and lows in the 40s. Sunset tonight is at 9:38 p.m. For more local, regional, and statewide news, visit ktoo.org. I'm Yvonne Crumry, and this is KTOO.